Hi everyone. Nice to see you all. Don't worry if you've not finished. You feel free to keep on wiring in to whatever you're finishing off. But I am going to just pray quickly because I can't help you. I'm extremely limited. I don't have all the answers for myself. But what I do have is the Bible in front of me, and I've got a Saviour called Jesus. He can help you, and I'm just going to ask for his help now. So let's just pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for good food and good company. We thank you for a safe place to come where we can have a laugh and just be with other people that care. But we turn to you now, Father, because there's spiritual needs in this room as well. We might not all show them. We might hide it very well, but our Father, some of us are struggling. Some of us are lost. We don't know where we're going in life. Some of us have got fear of death. Some of us have got struggles, our Father, that are private to us. And what we're asking is that you, the Creator God, would speak now, quiet in our hearts and speak into our lives. And our Father, we pray that you would bring somebody in this place to rest their confidence for forgiveness and salvation today, to put that confidence into Christ and trust him as their Saviour. And so we just pray, our Father, that you would speak and give help, we pray, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to read from the Bible. And it is from a gospel called John. You get four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And just as like if there's a major historic event, you might go out and you might buy four different papers. Nobody buys a paper anymore, I know that, but stay with me. And one of them, well, they would maybe concentrate on this natural disaster and how it started. And one of the other papers might speak about the consequences that it had on the people and how many lives were lost. And one of the other papers, well, they might speak about the rescue efforts, and they're all telling the same story, but they're just coming at it from slightly different perspectives. And this is John's gospel. This is an eyewitness. This is a reliable historic document. This wasn't a guy in a room hundreds and hundreds of years after making up stories. There's manuscripts of this very gospel that we are written very soon after Jesus lived and died and rose again. And John says to us, I've written this stuff because it's changed my life. He says, I've written it so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life in his name. So let's just read what this eyewitness says. He was actually at the cross. He watched Jesus on the cross. And in John chapter 19, it says in verse we'll just read from verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others either side, and Jesus in the centre. And then if you go down to verse 28, after Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. That's what John the eyewitness saw. That is what John the eyewitness heard. He had lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, which is no ordinary life. He'd been a fisherman, but Jesus, though he was ordinary, though he was just a normal man, he wasn't one of the bigwigs in the religious world, very ordinary man, but Jesus calls ordinary men and women. It's ordinary folk. It's the imperfect people. It's the people like you, the people like me, that he speaks to and brings to himself. And John followed Jesus, and so he saw things that he would never see ever again. He saw Jesus raising the dead. he saw Jesus going into the homes of people that, well, society had no time for them. They had wrecked their lives. They'd made bad decisions. They'd screwed up. But Jesus, he went and he would eat with them and he would drink with them and be a guest in their home. There wasn't a home that wasn't good enough for him. And he saw Jesus stopping in the busyness of everything that he was doing. When the blind beggar called out Jesus' name, Jesus stood still, went and spoke to him. When Jesus was walking under a tree, and you've got a guy that everybody hates up the tree to see Jesus, Jesus stops and he speaks to him and says, come down, you know, we're going to work through this together. And so John had seen all of this, but now he's watching the one that he knows as God in flesh. Because only God could raise the dead, only God could heal the sick, only God could feed the multitudes, only God could preach with the wisdom and the power and authority that he had preached. And now he's watching this man nailed to a cross. And in the middle of everything that was going on, he's on the cross for 6 hours. At 12 in the afternoon, it goes pitch black. And there's this thick darkness. And during that 3 hours, God the Father is putting the punishment that we deserve, that I deserve for my sins, that punishment was put on Jesus. He'd never sinned. But he was willingly paying the price and taking the punishment, offering himself as a sacrifice for my sins. Now, if he took my punishment, if I believe he took all of my punishment, there's a key. How much punishment is left for me? None. He took it all. And at the end of doing that, he says these words, finished. Finished. I can see some of your desserts are only finished, so feel free to keep going. But Jesus says, finished. I'm brilliant at starting things. I'm really good at starting things. If you want any advice on how to start a diet, I'm your man. If you want to know about finishing it, find somebody else. I bought a guitar. I actually bought quite a good guitar. Quite excited about learning how to play the guitar. Do you know how many times I've taken it out of the guitar case? In 5 years? Still there. Might still happen. Did some French lessons. Bonjour. Je m'appelle Jamie. J'ai 2 ans. That's 12, by the way. That tells you where my French career stopped. Great at starting things. Jesus says it's finished. It's finished. Spent some time in Zambia in Congo, and somebody kindly said we could use their house, but what they didn't tell us was that they didn't have a flushable toilet. Septic system was wrecked. So the guy had a problem, but the problem was hidden under the surface. So I went investigating, dug the thing up. Corey, less is more here in the content that I give you. Well, dug up, found the problem, fixed the problem, covered it back in. Glad I'll never need to deal with that again. That filth, it's gone. It's in the past. A few days later, problem's there again. He had an even bigger problem further down the system. And when Jesus says it's finished, what he's saying is, if you trust in me that I've paid the price of your sins, you don't need to worry about stuff getting dug up from your past anymore. You don't need to worry about standing before God and him digging something up from your past and saying you need to answer for this, you're going to be judged for this. Because Jesus is saying, I've paid the price of it. And when Jesus was dying on the cross and saying finished, what he was saying is that this is complete, it is perfect, it is permanent. When he says it's finished, he's saying this is a perfect sacrifice. You don't need to add to it. You know, if you went up and you took one of the nice meals that somebody made, and then you say, by the way, can I get salt? This needs hundreds of salt. And you start adding to it, what you're saying to them might not mean it, but and my wife doesn't like it when I do this, but what you're really saying is this isn't perfect. This isn't good enough. I need to add something to it to make it better. And we do that spiritually. Jesus died on the cross. I know all of that. But I'm also, the thing that's going to get me into heaven was I get sprinkled when I was a kid. Well, the thing that's going to get me into church is I've been a member at St. Margaret's since 1992. Well, the thing that's going to get me into heaven is that, well, there's a few folk in my street up to a few things that I'm not better than them. That's going to get me into heaven. And we're trying to add to God's good salvation. When Jesus says finished, he's saying this is a perfect sacrifice which doesn't need to be added to and which can't be added to. If you want to be forgiven, you have to trust that his sacrifice for your sins was perfect. Hebrews 10 verse 14, it says, but he offered him by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. God's salvation is perfect because the sacrifice was perfect, because the man that died on the cross is perfect. A perfect sacrifice and a permanent sacrifice. I had to go digging into that septic tank and drain again and re-expose the problem. Jesus has made this promise to us that because he has fully and finished paying the price of sin, we don't ever need to worry about stuff getting dug back up again. And I know I, for one, am really thankful for that. It says in Hebrews 10 and verse 12, this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So you don't need to add any other sacrifices. You don't need to wait for him to add another sacrifice. It's done. It's paid in full. Our debt is paid in full. It is a perfect sacrifice. It is a permanent sacrifice. It will take you into the rest of this day. It will take you into the rest of this month. It will take you into next year. And it will take you through sickness. And it will take you through your deathbed. And it will take you into heaven. And it will keep you there for eternity. Because it's finished. Permanent sacrifice. You trust that his death on the cross was perfect. You're not adding to it. You trust that his death on the cross is permanent and you accept God's good salvation. It's also personal. I used to know John chapter 3 verse 16. Does anybody know John chapter 3 verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I didn't care. I didn't care that God died for the world. I was selfish. It's all about me. I don't care what he did for everyone else. What about me? But there's a verse in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 20. And it's about me. It's personal. And Paul says, he is the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. And so this is a personal sacrifice. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a prophet. He sent himself. He came personally. That's how much he loves you. If you ever want to question that God loves you, you remind yourself that he let his son die for you. That's how much he loves you. But it has to be received personally as well. The person that's invited you today can't receive Christ into your life for you. Having Christian family members doesn't mean that you receive God's forgiveness second hand. You would have to make a personal choice to acknowledge to God that you are a sinner and that you need a saviour, and that when Jesus was dying on the cross, he was actually dying for you, and he was dying because of you, so that he could bring you back into relationship with God, to forgive you and bring you into relationship with God and be forgiven because you have personally trusted in him. And it's a permanent sacrifice, and it's a perfect sacrifice, a personal sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that gives you peace. Some of us have walked in through that door, and we're not sure where we would go if we died. Don't know. Maybe hoping for the best. You can walk out that door with peace, with 100% assurance, with God's guarantee, who cannot lie, saying that your sins have been fully, permanently, perfectly, personally removed from your life, and you can have the peace of God. Therefore, Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. We're not waiting to get it. We have it because we know, trusting in Jesus. He paid for my sin and he said it was finished. And that means I have God's salvation. I have God's forgiveness. Now I've got peace. They used to use this word that Jesus said for finished in the language that he was speaking. They used to write it down. If somebody had a debt, they owed a grand, and they would come every month and they would, you know, give them 50 quid, and then they'd say, right, remaining 950. And then they'd come the next month and another 50 quid, right, remaining 900. See, when they came with the last 50 quid and they settled the debt, they would write that over the top of it, finished, finished. There's nothing left to pay. If you put your faith in Christ this afternoon, you have got nothing left to pay. He's paid it all. And they used to, oh, you'll not know anything about this, I'm sure. Maybe you do. When somebody ended up in the jail and they get a sentence, 3 years, 6 months, they would have their lib date up, their EDL. And when they'd served 5 days and 5 weeks and 5 months, that sentence was still on the chalkboard outside the cell. But see, on the last day of their sentence, the day that they completed that 3 years, 6 months, you know what they wrote over the sentence? Maybe Jamie McElroy, thief, had been there for 3 years, 6 months. On the last day, do you know what they wrote on it? Finished. Sentence has been paid. And I'm going to heaven not because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because somebody went to the cross and offered himself as a sacrifice for my sins. And he finished that sacrifice. He offered himself perfectly and permanently and personally so that I could have peace. I'm going to heaven because I'm trusting in him. He's paid the price for me. He's done the sentence for me. And I get to walk in God's forgiveness and the knowledge that I'm going to heaven because I'm trusting in Jesus. I don't know how good you are at finishing things, but you can finish that question of sin. You can finish that fear of death now. You can bow your head at your table and you can speak to God and you can confess to him that you're a sinner, but that now you understand and believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and that by trusting in him and asking for forgiveness, you accept God's salvation. And I promise you, you will never, ever, ever regret it. If you want to speak to somebody, speak to the person that invited you, speak to somebody that you know here, come and speak to me, be glad to do that. This stuff's too big just to think, oh, maybe I'll understand it the next time. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for those incredible words from your Son. It is finished. And I pray that today that somebody would leave this place knowing that the problem of their sin is now finished because they have been saved and forgiven through trusting and believing that Jesus died on the cross for them personally. Help us to understand this. Move in our hearts, we pray, as we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.